So as we continue in our series today, we're wrapping up, we are finishing looking at stewardship series. Steward your time, your treasure, and today we're looking at stewarding your talent. And oftentimes when this series happens, the pastor comes out with the baseball bat or the 2x4 and tries to like motivate you to do something. And the whole purpose of what we're doing today isn't to motivate you to do something, it's to help you to examine your heart and where your heart is before God. And today we're going to look at stewarding our talents, using what God has given us to the very best of our ability to build his kingdom. So I want to show you a gift. I want to show you a gift that I got. Because the Holy Spirit gives everybody a gift. God gives everybody a gift. It's called the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is his presence walks with us and helps us to fulfill his mandate and his mission in this world. And so we have that gift. And so, Josh, why is there a picture of a bike? Who put the picture of a bike there? No, I'm kidding. I put the picture of the bike there. So that is my first bike. I got the Sears knockoff, but that is very close to what my first bike looked like. That is a 1980 Free Spirit. Mine was the Sears Spirit BMX. I was given that bike when I turned 6. Does everybody remember their first bike? What did your first bike mean for you? Freedom. Freedom. Someone got it right away. Wow, someone else can preach this sermon. So freedom. I remember being given that bike, and I had this battered old hand-me-down that I learned to ride on with the training wheels. And then I got this bike. This was my first bike. And I got that bike when I turned 6. And I can look at that bike, and I can tell you that it was blue, that it had a foam crash pad right across the handlebar that I used frequently. It didn't have, like, we weren't the Rockefellers. I didn't have handbrakes. Oh, no, I had the backup brake. Remember the backup brake that you blew your tire with? Oh, yeah. And it was a heavy bike. It was designed for abuse. And I abused that bike, but I rode that bike everywhere. I still remember the day when I was in grade 8. I loaned my bike to my friend Rob, who took it across the street to the store, and he came back pushing the bike. Yeah, not riding it. Yeah, it didn't end well. He tried to do a jump, and he landed, and he bent the forks, and the bike was destroyed. I still remember that moment, though, because I had ridden that bike from the time I was 6 to the time I was 13. 7 years, that bike provided me freedom. And I can tell you all about that bike from an intellectual standpoint, how much it weighed, the size of the tires. I can tell you all the stuff that I know about that gift that I was given, or I can tell you about how I used that gift. Do you see the difference? We can know all about the gift that we've got, but still not choose to use it. I could still have that bike today if when I got that bike, I took that bike and I hung it on a peg in the garage or in my room, and I left it there. And I think a lot of times what happens is that we're given a gift, but not all of God's children are willing to use that gift to allow the Holy Spirit to bring glory to him through us. Dare I say, a lot of us have been in the church for a long time. Hands up if you've been in the church for a long time. Grew up in the church, right? I was born on a Tuesday. I was in church on Sunday. Right? Again, hands up, have you done a spiritual gift inventory? You know, a lot of us know what our spiritual gifts are, and that's fantastic. But there's a big difference between knowing about the bike and riding the bike. And so today, we want to look at what it looks like for us to use our spiritual gifts to allow the Holy Spirit to bring glory to God through us. Because like my bike, the spiritual gift doesn't do anything unless we use it. So God's calling us today as we steward our gifts, the talents that he has given us, to use it or to lose it. So Father, today as we look into your word, as we study 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we see what it means for a very young person to experience finding out about their gifts and what you've called them to, and then having a choice whether or not they're going to be obedient and use that gift, that, Father, that we will choose the same thing, that we'll be obedient to use the gifts that you have given us so that we can help you, help to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're going to be looking at someone who was given a gift, and it's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. So if you have your Bibles or your phones or your tablets, please jump to 1 Samuel chapter 3. I'm reading out of the ESV. That's the one I use most often, is the English Standard Version. So if you want to jump to that so you can follow along, 1 Samuel chapter 3. And here we have Samuel is serving as a boy. And if you remember the story of Samuel, his parents couldn't conceive, and his mother prayed, and she said, God, if you give me a child, I will dedicate him to you. I will give him back to you. And so Samuel is born, and when he was old enough, his mother took him and brought him to the temple where he would serve the head priest Eli. And it says this, now the young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. So we have a boy named Samuel, and he is not, he's like not much more than a boy. He might be like a preteen. He is young. His mother brings him an outfit every year and comes and visits him, but he serves and he lives in the temple. But it says, it says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There was no frequent vision. One of the reasons why the word of the Lord is rare is because people weren't using the gifts and they weren't being obedient to what God had called them to. Samuel is serving the head priest. He's serving under the head priest. His name is Eli. And Eli is not using the gifts that he was called to. It says this, at that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, so it's sometime in the middle of the night. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the Lord was. And see, the problem is, it's Eli who is not using the gifts God has given him. Eli was called to lead and to be the spiritual representative of God on earth. And instead, if you go back a few chapters in the Bible, you see what Eli has allowed his family to do. Eli has two sons, and his sons have wreaked havoc on the temple. They're using the temple as their own personal piggy bank. They're abusing people. They are stealing. They're taking the sacrifices. They're belittling people who have come to the temple to serve God. And Eli is letting it happen. Eli is letting this go on. So Eli is not being faithful, not being obedient to use the gifts God has given him. He is supposed to be getting messages from the Lord. One of the first messages the Lord gives us is repent. Turn away from the evil that you are doing and follow after me. And Eli's not listening to that. So God's being very patient with Eli. But he's not using the gifts that he has been given, so why would God give him more? Eli, you've got this gift. You have to use it or you will lose it. And so there he is, and he's lost his sight. He's almost blind, and he's lying in bed, and he's in his place, and they're in the temple, and it says the candle, the lamp of the Lord hasn't gone out. They would light that lamp at dusk, and then it would go out in the morning. They would like burn the oil all through the night so that this lamp was on, so that there was always light in the temple. But Eli is not doing a good job of stewarding that light. He is not doing a good job of looking after it. And so in the midst of this, we have this guy named Samuel. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, here I am. And he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called for me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go lie down again. So he went and he laid down. And the Lord called again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Samuel heard a voice. Samuel hears God talking to him. That voice is calling to him. I believe that each and every one of us at some time in our life will hear a voice calling to us. Hear a voice calling out, come back to me and be reunited with me. Come away from the things that are breaking you and the brokenness that you're living in. Come to me and be free. Samuel heard that voice crying in the night. Samuel, and he mistakes it for Eli. So he runs. It's his job to go see what Eli wants. You know, he's like 8, 9, 10 years old. He pops up out of his bed, runs to go see what Eli wants. Does anybody else's kid pop up at 8 or 9 years old in the middle of the night and come, you know? I remember the last time my son came into my room in the middle of the night. He was about 7 or 8. He wasn't feeling good. He walked right past the bathroom. on the way to my room to tell me he wasn't feeling good. 2 minutes later, guess what I was cleaning up? Yes. That was the last time I remember him popping up in the middle of the night. But Samuel hears this voice, and he gets up to go and to obey and to do what he is supposed to do. And it's really unique because verse 8 says this. If we look at verse 8, it says simply, "Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him." He doesn't know him. Verse 7, Eli is the one who's supposed to know all about God. He's supposed to like lead Samuel that way. But Samuel still doesn't know God. He's not sure what's going on. He hasn't learned to recognize the voice of God. He is serving. Interesting, though. Interesting, because what is he doing? His whole life revolves around serving in the church. His whole life revolves around doing churchy things, but he didn't know God. So here we have someone who doesn't know God, who does a lot of churchy things. And he is growing up, and God is about to reveal to him the gift that he is going to get. So the third time, and the Lord called Samuel again, the third time, and he arose and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." I can't figure out, like, this kid must be getting frustrated. Right? "Eli, stop messing around. What do you want?" "Eli, you called me." Then Eli finally figured out the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and he lay down in his place. And Eli guides him to listen to the voice of the Lord. Guides him to go and sit and to be quiet and to listen. Now, I think that's very interesting because Eli hasn't been listening. Eli has not been listening to God. Eli has not been doing what God has called him to do. Eli has not been using the gifts God has given him. And we're going to see in a few moments how if you don't use it, Eli is going to lose it. But he knows enough to tell Samuel, "Go and ask the Lord, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" And basically what Eli is telling Samuel to do is to go and put yourself in a position of humility where you ask God to speak to me and I am listening. And that idea of listening isn't just I'm going to hear the words, but I am ready to do what you call me to. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." James tells us that we can't just be hearers of the word of God, but we must be doers as well. We must be obedient to do what God calls us to. And so Eli sends him back to bed, and he lies down, and he's waiting. Now, I want to think for a second, if you are Samuel, you're 8, 9, 10, maybe as old as 12. You've been in the temple your whole life, you still don't really know God. You've done churchy things. You've been culturally serving God because this is our culture. This is our Hebrew culture. This is what we do. But you don't know God. And all of a sudden, God starts talking to you. Eli, the guy who's supposed to hear from God, hasn't heard from God, but now he tells you, you are hearing from God. God is talking to you, Samuel. I don't know if I'd think that'd be really cool or if I'd be scared bitless. You know what I mean? Like, I would be terrified. All of a sudden, God is talking to me. And I think a lot of times we are Samuels because God wants to talk to us and we are afraid to listen and hear because he might say something that scares us. If we go back to the whole Exodus story, in church life, this idea has been created that the pastor creates everything and comes up with all the ideas. And people go all the way back, they say, Moses went up to hear from God on the mountain. And then Moses came down, and Moses told the people what God said. But I believe that God speaks to all of us. God spoke to an 8-year-old boy named Samuel, 9, 10-year-old boy. He wants to speak to all of us. But in the Exodus account, why Moses went up to the mountain is because the people of Israel said, "You go and hear from God because we're afraid to." We wash our hands of the responsibility to actually communicate with God. We're going to let you do that on our behalf. And that tradition has been carried on for years, for centuries in some churches. But I believe that God speaks to all of us. I believe that God speaks through his people as well as to me. And so God is calling out to us, and he is speaking, and it's whether or not we are willing to listen and to use what he gives us, or will we lose it? And then it's very interesting, because so far he's only spoken to him. So far he's only talked to him. And then it says this in verse 10, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears." God came and stood beside him. God has his attention. What would it take for God to get your attention? What does it look like for God to come and stand beside you? What does it look like for God to get your attention? He has Samuel's rapt attention. Samuel is listening to him. Samuel has been hearing the voice of God. Now the Spirit of God, the presence of God, is standing before him. And the Lord says to Samuel, "Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle." That's very interesting. If you look through scriptures, there's a couple other instances where people's ears tingle. You know, were your ears burning? What does it mean when your ears are burning? Someone's talking about you, right? You know, my ears burn like right after church for about an hour or two when people go, you know, people, "What did you have for lunch?" "Roast pastor." But, right? So your ears tingle, though, and the there's three instances in the Bible where it talks about your ears tingling in the Old Testament, and each one refers to when God is going to bring judgment against somebody. Each one is not a good thing that your ears are tingling. "At which all their ears will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of his house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." And Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell his vision to Eli. Here we have a gut check. Here we have a gut check. What Samuel has been given is called the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy exists, and in a very real way, what the prophet does is very little scripture. The prophet does foretelling, where he says, "This will happen." We find in a few places in the Old Testament, we find in the book of Revelation, you know, the book of Isaiah, we talk about Daniel, some of the vision that he had. That is foretelling. Most of the job of the prophet was simply to say, "Here is the word of God. Here is your life. Line them up. Get them together." Samuel is being given this gift of prophecy. He is being given the gift where he must go and he must tell people what the Lord says. He must tell people that you are missing something. You are missing what God has for you. And he is afraid to tell this to Eli. First of all, he probably loves Eli. Eli has been his father figure. Eli has the authority figure in his life. He has served faithfully under Eli. He's helped Eli. He's grown comfortable with Eli. And here God tells him that you must tell Eli that he's about to be wiped out. Will he use his gift or won't he? Will he be obedient? See, our purpose is to glorify God. Our purpose in life is to glorify God. Again, if you grew up in some traditions, you did catechism. In the Heidelberg Catechism, the first question, they ask you a question and you give an answer. And it's always the same question, it's always the same answer, it's the thing you must memorize. And the first question is, what is the chief end of man? And the response is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And if our purpose is to glorify God, we do that through the gifts he has given us. And so Samuel has a responsibility to glorify God and to be obedient and to be faithful to steward that gift he has been given. So what are the gifts that he has given us? You know, in our own lives today, this is Samuel, this is thousands of years ago. What about today, Josh, in 2018? Well, the gifts, we find gifts of the Holy Spirit, we find gifts that he gives his people all through the New Testament, and even some in the Old Testament. So what are the things he's given us? What are the gifts? And I've broken it out into two things. Rather than do an extensive teaching today on the gifts themselves, we're going to focus on the obedience of using it or losing it. But I want to just kind of go over, I have two categories to talk about the gifts. And the first, what are the things, the gifts? The first is the things that we say. The first gift is the things that we say. So who's this? Who's this, the picture there? The invisible man. Sharing the gospel. Billy Graham. The things that we say, sharing the gospel. We celebrate the life of Billy Graham. I remember when he came to the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium when I was just a child. I remember going with my grandparents and singing, "Just as I am with but one plea, but that thy blood was shed for," and watching, and I didn't know what was going on, but watching people flood down to the front. And in the 90s, when Billy Graham came, it was about 92, 93, when he did the mission in Toronto. And I remember he was sick. He was at a press conference the day before it started, and he collapsed. He had some stomach problems, or he was sick. He was internal bleeding. I think he had ulcers. And he collapsed, and he was in the hospital for 5 or 6 days, and he rallied, and he came to preach the last night at the Sky Dome, and it was the youth night. And I watched as literally thousands of people flooded to the front, and they found hope, and they found a relationship with Jesus. Kathy Lee Gifford was asked about her friend Billy Graham on TV the other day, and she preached the gospel. "So though as he is dead, he still speaketh." And she said, we don't need any more religion, we need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's what Billy Graham helped us to find. So in a very real and powerful way, that which we say, a gift, he was gifted as an evangelist. He was gifted as an evangelist, and some people here have that gift. But if you don't have that gift, we are still called to do it. It's just easier for some other people. Isn't that not fair? Right? For some people, it's easy to do evangelism. For some others, it takes some work. But we're still called to do it. That which we say, teaching. When we teach up here, we don't take it lightly. Again, going back to James, it says, those of us who teach will be judged much more strictly. This is not something you want to do lightly. A prophet was one who taught the word of God. They had one requirement when they taught the word of God, 100% accuracy. If not, they killed you. Anybody want my job? All right, that which we say, to teach the word of God, to preach, to stand up and do the public proclamation of Scripture. This is a gift. I would love to see more people have this gift, because it doesn't just happen here on Sunday mornings. This is actually standing up to publicly proclaim the gospel where you are too. One of the guys in the church, part of his job, part of his ongoing training, was that he had to stand up and do a public speaking bit. You know, they did like a public speaking course. And you could speak on anything you want. And some people spoke about their car or their vacations or their family or their dog. And one of the guys in the church stood up and he shared about the difference Christ has made in his life in front of all of his peers. And he used the opportunity to publicly proclaim the gospel. How about this one? Things that we say to encourage. To encourage. There are a few people in this church that when I see you coming, I get ready to be blessed. There's a few people who are the other way. But if you don't know which kind you are, you're the good kind. But there are some people here who just have a gift of encouragement. And when they come alongside you, they point out something that God is doing in your life or that they've noticed, and it's just a blessing. Years ago, a friend of mine who was a pastor, he said, "Josh, you want to serve your congregation?" He said, "Catch them doing things right." And so I love to catch people doing things right. I love to tell people stories of how what they've done has blessed me and has built the kingdom. I love to catch stories, to tell stories of catching people doing something right, to encourage, that which we say. And the other is that which we do, that which we do. How about when we serve? When we think of serving, here's another person who died a few years ago. Oh, maybe come up last. Serve, lead, heal, give. I'll go back through them. Create, show mercy, to serve. Mother Teresa of Calcutta. If you can't feed 100 people, then feed just one. And we think of the acts of service that she has done. We go back to Billy Graham. We think of the Samaritan's purse. and the way they have served globally. Some of the people that I work with at World Vision, the way that they serve. Right now, we have people from our church, five people from our church, who are on their way back from Denmark, where they have gone and they have served and they have shared the gospel. So when we serve, when we lead, to lead is a gift. To be a leader in the church is to be a gift. It's something that you might have to do, but it's something that God gives people to do. And so we follow that lead to heal. We see the word of God tells us that we can heal and we can bring healing to the nations. We can bring emotional healing, physical healing, spiritual healing. We can be a people who heal. We can give. Giving. Some people are just blessed with the ability to give. And they do. You know, and we are all called to give. Go back to last week, stewarding our treasures. We are all called to give. Some people just do it. They give so freely of their finances, of their time, of their gifts to build the church and to build the kingdom of God, to create. Every Friday morning, there's a bunch of guys who come in here who make this place look good. Little things get banged up, little things get broken. There's a heater in this room that Janet said, oh, it was busted, Josh. So I went to check it. I got hit with 220 volts. I was like, yeah, you almost needed a new pastor. You know, sorry, Quebec, I'm not being transferred anywhere. That was about a month ago. The next day, a couple of guys from the church came and they capped it off. The hockey nets were up against it. And I thought to myself, what if a kid comes in and grabs that hockey net and completes the circuit? Boom! And to create, to build, is actually a gift that we see in the Old Testament. And so we have guys who come here and they use their gifts to fix things and to build things and to bless things, to be creative. You know, when this was all decorated for Christmas, when this was all set up, people used their abilities that God had given them to make it look beautiful, to create. Beyond that, to show mercy. To show mercy. Mother Teresa, one time she was talking with a wealthy millionaire from the States who wanted to invest in her ministry. And he looked and there was two of her nuns had come and they were picking a guy up out of the gutter who was a leper. And he was covered in sores and he had an infestation of bugs and he was dying and they were going to try and do their best for him and they were going to serve him. And he looked at it and he said, Mother Teresa, I wouldn't touch that guy for $1 million. And she said, neither would I. But I will touch him and love him because Christ calls me to. Some people have an incredible ability to show mercy. And this isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't a list where we have everything laid out and we can go through that. And there's a couple of the elders here who are passionate about helping people find their spiritual gifts and to walk through them and to learn how to use them. But the big question comes with Samuel, going back to our story here, with Samuel, who is given this gift of prophecy, is will he be obedient? Will Samuel be obedient? Will he use the gift God has given him, or like Eli, will he lose it? Will he be obedient? And the question for us becomes this, will we be obedient? Will we be obedient? Verses 16 and 17. Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, here I am. This time, it's the right guy calling him. What is it that the Lord told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. Does anybody here get the feeling that Eli knows something's up? You know, when I was a kid and I'd be in school and I'd hear, Josh Sklar, please come to the principal's office. Ah, again. I had my own chair. Right? I knew something was up when I would hear that announcement. Eli knows something is up because he's the one who's supposed to hear from God. And instead, the kid who's sleeping on the floor in the temple hears from God. So Eli knows that something is up. And again, going back to verse 15, he was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. He was afraid to use his gift because it's going to make things different between him and Eli. It's going to change things. When he uses his gift, it's going to change things. It's going to change the dynamic. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes it's not easy to use your gift. Anybody who tells you it is trying to sell you something. It's not always easy, but it's always right. And there might be consequences. Dynamics might change. But if God calls you to use it, to use a gift he has given you, an ability to say something or to do something, and you do not, you are missing what he has for you. So Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." When I was called down to the principal's office as a young child, how do you think it would have gone if I tried to tell the principal what I thought he was doing wrong? Think that one would have gone over well? Luckily, by the time I came through school, they had just taken out being paddled. So he tells him, and Eli says, "It is the Lord." And you can almost hear him take that deep, resigned breath. He knows he's been working on borrowed time. He knows that he hasn't been using what God has given him. He knows that his sons have been blaspheming God and have been tearing apart the temple emotionally and damaging people. And he says, "Let him do what seems good to him." I find it funny that somehow in the midst of this, Eli thinks he's giving God permission to do what God is going to do. Let him do what seems good. Okay, it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. He's convicted. He knows and understands that it's time to pay the price. And so Samuel has told him, and it brings conviction to Eli, but the interesting thing is it brings glory to God. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. When we talk about words falling to the ground, it means that they don't get hurt. You don't come to know God more deeply because the words have fallen to the ground. And you have missed what God is trying to tell you. But Samuel, his words, God says that his words, none of them fell to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. See, what starts to happen is when Samuel uses the gift, Eli knows his time is done. He's been convicted, and if you read through the next chapter, the next couple of chapters, you see God brings judgment onto Eli. And they are attacked, and the people of God are attacked, and in that battle, Eli's two sons are killed. And they are cut off, and that's it. But we have a guy who chose to use his gifts, a young boy who had faith in what God is doing and chose to use his gifts, chose to use the gift God had given him to be prophetic and to speak into the life of Eli, and then God uses that and it brings glory to God. And all the people from Dan to Beersheba knew that he was the prophet of the Lord, and God didn't let anything he say go to waste. And so through Samuel, God begins to encourage and to lift up and to bless his people. And through Samuel, God guides and directs and helps to choose a king, King David. And through Samuel, the people of God are encouraged to take the word of God and their lives and to get them together. And through Samuel, God does incredible and powerful things because he was willing to use his gift. He was willing to use his gift to bring glory to God. And I look out and I see people who are using their gifts to bring glory to God. There's a couple of guys who work here with Hockey Ministries International and are using their gifts to bring glory to God in the hockey realm. Where young men in the world that is given over to the world, the hockey realm, are being encouraged to walk towards Jesus. And they are coming to faith in Christ through the efforts of some of these guys being faithful to use their gifts. You know, last night I was at the coldest night of the year walk, and it wasn't cold, but I was at the coldest night of the year walk, and they brought in over $80,000 because people were using their gift to give and to bless the community. And I walked with people from a couple dozen different churches who want to make a difference and are using their gifts to make a difference in the community. And that's what happens when people choose to use their gift. And at Onside Sports, I bump shoulders with so many people who would never darken the doors of a church unless someone was faithful to the call to create this whole thing where we can reach our community. And people use their gifts. And so I get to invite people to church. And I get to rub shoulders with them. And I get to do life with them. And we get to win because my team wins. But, sorry, I do have that competitive streak. But I see people there, the volunteers. I was talking with one of the volunteers today, and he said how great it is that he gets to be at Onside because he gets to talk with people and find out what they do and find out where they're from, and he gets to share part of what he's doing and his call and his life and his journey with them. And we see people coming to church and coming to faith through what's happening at Onside. People using their gifts to bring glory to God. One of the gentlemen here has a passion for Bibles for Missions. Goes and works 2 or 3 half days a week at Bibles for Missions and goes and uses the gifts he has been given to help put stuff out. He has the electronics, and he fixes up the electronics. He puts them on the shelves. It's sold, and that place is sending, just the one here in Guelph, is sending over $300,000 a year to global church planting and to sharing the gospel around the world through Bible for Missions. And people using their gifts that God has given them to glorify God make a difference in the kingdom. And dare I say that every last one of us is here today because somebody used their gifts to glorify God, that God has started on our journey towards Jesus. My challenge to you today is, how are you going to use the gifts God has given you to glorify him this week? Father, right now there are people here who are saying, God, when Josh had that list of things to say, that I saw something there that was me. Or when he had a list of things to do, I had something on there that just really resonated with my heart. Is that a gift that I've got? God, I've done all the questionnaires. I've checked off all the boxes. I've seen the results. I know what my spiritual gifts are. But God, make me obedient. Give me opportunities to use them, I pray, to glorify you and to build your kingdom. We thank you. We praise you. And God, we give ourselves to you in today. Help us to steward our time, our treasure, and our talents to bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.